One day, a brother and a sister were spending the night with their grandmother. It was a couple weeks before Christmas. And the little boy got down on his knees at night and said his bedtime prayers, but he shouted them at the top of his lungs and said, "Dear God, for Christmas, I want a brand new football, a brand new skateboard, and a brand new bicycle." And he said it at the top of his lungs. And his sister said to him, "Why are you shouting your prayers? God's not deaf." And the little boy says, "I know God's not deaf, but Grandma is." So in today's gospel, we have the healing of a deaf man. Take a look at this passage from Mark chapter 7, a very short gospel, but contains a lot of very interesting details. I would have to say this is perhaps one of the Lord's most unique and interesting miracles that he worked. He does some things in this particular healing and miracle that he doesn't do anywhere else. So it says the Lord had left the district of Tyre, went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. And when he came into this Gentile area, the people brought him a deaf man, it says, who had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hand on him. So what we have going on here is good friends. These good friends brought the deaf man to the Lord. They had heard about the Lord's reputation for healings and cures and miracles, and they felt pity on this man. He was deaf. He was mute. He was able to speak a little bit, but nobody could understand what he was saying. And so notice what we have here is these people were being good apostles. They were being good evangelists. They were being good friends. They wanted to help this man because of his speech impediment and because he could not hear. And it says they begged Jesus to lay his hand upon him. And we call this intercession. See, we pray for one another. I can pray for you. You can pray for me. You pray for your spouse. You pray for your children. You pray for your grandchildren. This is called intercession. And it's very biblical. We see the people were interceding on behalf of this man, trying to ask the Lord to heal his deafness and to give him his speech again. And so they begged him. And so sometimes in our own life, we have to do this for others, maybe for family members or friends. We have to intercede for them. We have to pray for them. It makes us good friends. It makes us good evangelists and apostles if we lead people and bring people to Jesus. Just like this deaf man probably would not have come to Jesus directly had not his friends brought him. So we are called to bring our friends to Jesus, to the church. And what does the Lord do? Oftentimes the Lord works a miracle in front of a big crowd, but not this time. The Lord has incredible respect for this deaf man who probably didn't understand everything that was taking place. So Jesus takes him off privately, away from the crowd. I think it's the only time in Scripture where I can ever remember Jesus taking the person away from the crowd to a private place and performing a miracle without all the crowd watching. And what does the Lord do? It says he puts his finger into the man's ears. The finger of God in Scripture, that expression has to do with the power of God, God's miraculous power, God's creative power. Michelangelo beautifully portrayed this on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. If you've seen in the Vatican, on the roof of the ceiling, you see the creation of Adam. And what do you see? You see God's hand, the finger of God, touching Adam's hand and giving life, creating Adam. So the finger of God here of our Lord represents God's power, God's creative, God's healing ability. So he places the fingers into the man's ears. See, the man could not hear anything, so Jesus had to use signs and he had to show him. I can relate to this because my grandmother on my dad's side was deaf when she was a young woman. And so she lived with us for over 20 years. She died at the age of 93. We took care of her as young kids and teenagers. And obviously she couldn't hear anything we said, so we had to use signs and things in order to explain things to her as best we could. Well, the Lord is doing that. He places his fingers into the man's ears, indicating he's going to help him with his hearing, to perhaps open his ears so he can hear. Then he does something else very unique. It says, he touched his tongue with the spittle. The saliva always was considered to have healing power. And so the Lord uses these physical things, even the spittle, to do work a healing. And we call this a sacramental principle, that God often uses physical things to give us spiritual blessings. We see this in baptism with the use of holy water. We see this in the anointing of the sick or confirmation with sacred oil. We see this in the Holy Eucharist with the use of bread and wine. See, God uses physical elements through which he can bestow his graces and blessings upon us. Even with the laying on of hands, this has been done. It's done at the anointing of the sick. When we pray over somebody, we place our hands over them. We see this in today's scripture. Jesus laid his hands upon him. We also see this in the sacrament of confirmation, where the bishop lays the hands over the confirmandi. We see it at ordination, when again the bishop lays hands over the man who's being ordained a priest. So we see these very tactile physical signs of the laying on of hands or the use of sacramental things. And we then see, again, a very unique thing. Scripture says, then Jesus looked up to heaven. He, of course, is praying to his heavenly Father. And it says, Jesus groaned. He groaned. Bishop Sheen, in his commentary on this, says that this would indicate that every time Jesus worked a miracle, it cost him something. He had to give of himself. It says before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus also groaned and experienced perhaps what it would be like to be dead and then to be raised up. So Jesus today perhaps experienced the moment of deafness when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know the Lord was experiencing, taking upon himself the sins of the world. So every time Jesus worked a miracle, he didn't just snap his fingers and work magic. He gave of himself. He spent himself. He gave himself. In today's gospel, he groans with agony, with pain, as he's about to open the ears of the deaf man. So this shows how much God loves us, how much Jesus loves each one of us, that he was willing to experience this pain and suffering every time he worked a miracle. When the woman touched his garment in one of the Gospels, it said healing power flowed out from him, and he realized there was a drain of energy when he healed someone. So every time the Lord healed somebody or cured someone, it was an act of love, an act of sacrifice, an act of self-giving. So today it says he looks up to heaven and he groans, and he says to him, Ephatha. This is an Aramaic word. So even though they were in Gentile territory, this man most likely was Jewish because he spoke to him in Aramaic, in the Hebrew. And he says, be opened. And it says, immediately, the man's ears were opened and his speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. St. Mark says this happened immediately. Immediately is St. Mark's favorite word. He uses it over 40 times in the gospel. Immediately, the man was healed. He could now hear, and he could now speak again. And the whole crowd rejoices because they realize that this is the sign of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 35, it says, when the Messiah comes, there will be many blessings. He will make the deaf hear. He'll make the blind see, the cripples walk. He'll heal the lepers. He'll do all these miracles. So the people are now rejoicing because the Messiah is now here. So how do we apply this to our daily life? Well, obviously, we're probably not physically deaf, but perhaps many of us are spiritually deaf. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody who just doesn't believe in God? Because in a sense, they're spiritually deaf. How do we get through to them? Well, we intercede for them. We pray for them. We try our best to bring them to Jesus by our good example, by our words, by our love, by our kindness, by our actions. So we probably have people in our own life that are spiritually deaf. Maybe it's your children that have drifted away from the church, or maybe they went off to college and lost their faith, or maybe it's a spouse or a parent or someone who just doesn't, is not open to listening to the Word of God. What we should do, of course, is be good apostles and good intercessors and try to love them back into the church, love them back into the faith. And then ourselves, sometimes we can have some spiritual deafness as well. How do we overcome that? I would suggest three things. Prayer, and especially listening at prayer. When we pray, don't do all the talking. Make sure you have quiet time every day to listen to God. Father Benedict Rochelle wrote a beautiful book called Listening at Prayer. The whole book is about listening when we pray. Don't do all the talking when you pray. Have some quiet time and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then spend 5 or 10 minutes every day in silence and prayer, without music, without the radio, without the TV, silence. So listen, and this is how we can overcome our spiritual deafness. And then second, read the Bible and listen to the Bible and the words of sacred scripture. That's how God speaks to us, is through his inspired word of God. So read sacred scripture, listen to the readings at church, and be open to the teachings of sacred scripture. And lastly, listen to the teachings of the church. The church is the Holy Mother. The church teaches us how to get to heaven and gives us the sacraments. So listen and obey the teachings of Holy Mother Church. So those three things are, I think, how we can overcome our spiritual deafness: prayer, sacred scripture, and listening to the teachings of the church.